And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, December 21st, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 45. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that was music from a PlayStation 2 title, a movie title, a movie, you know, one of those movies they made a video game out of.
Yeah.
Polar Express.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, fits the theme, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Christmas movie.
Yeah, you'll Christmas hear, game. Yeah, you'll hear Christmas tracks all throughout the show. It is, I don't know how many years, I guess we've been doing a show that's centered around Christmas as far as the music is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation might not be because there's really nothing that relates to it for the most part.
No.
But we'll put the music in there, which is strange. It's amazing to me that I'm still able to find tracks I have not used in all these years. That are Christmas-themed,
yeah.
I guess you could say. Holiday-themed, Christmas-themed. Some of them are Christmassy, like that right there. You'll hear some other stuff. Man, it doesn't necessarily have the jingle bells and that sort of thing, but it evokes, I suppose, a winter scene of some sort.
Yeah. There are plenty of games out there that you don't think, you don't associate with Christmas. It just happens to have something in there.
Well, like one of the ones that we've got coming up is from a game that came out this year, and it's Kingdom Hearts 3. And, of course, they have the Frozen section.
Right.
And that is considered a wintry, holiday, Christmassy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's music from that, and so that's one of the tracks that we're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then some games just decide to throw in some Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Destiny 2 is doing their holiday event, The Dawning, and that sort of thing. It has some great music in the tower when you're there that I would love to use, but I did not use for this.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Lethal Migraine. Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the lines of suspense or horror-themed games. Like, remember when I brought you Blue Stinger years ago?
Yep.
It's like, it's a horror game, and all of a sudden, bam, Christmas out of nowhere.
Where's the horror games?
Mm?
You said horror games?
Mm.
Where are those that have Christmas things in them?
Well, I was thinking of Blue Stinger, for one.
That's a horror? That's a horror?
Horror, suspense, survival action.
Really?
Horror, Blue Stinger?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
What
did you
know,
think it was?
It sounds like it's a... I don't know. It sounds like it's a platformer called Blue Stinger. I don't know what Blue Stinger.
Oh, old.
Let me look it up.
It was a Dreamcast game years back. yes, the survival action horror type game. Yeah. Thor says,
"Oh, look at that! You're right."
Dead Rising 4. He says that had something like that.
Yeah, Dead Rising 4 did. I don't know that I used any music, just for the fact that the music didn't necessarily invoke the feeling, but I don't know. I haven't checked.
Yeah.
It's something to look at. But yeah, there's Blue Stinger. I thought Blue Stinger was like something from the, I don't know, the Genesis PS1, PS2 days.
Hmm.
some platform or whatever, but no, this is, you're right. It is a survival horror type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, well, thanks for enlightening me on that. Oh, hey, we got to do this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I haven't done the thing.
All right.
So, our show for Christmas.
Clap, clap.
That is it. We will not be here to do a show next week.
Mm-hmm.
No show. We will run a replay, but no show next week, so that's when we're going to take off. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can. Our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. You can find us there and join in the chat room live while we broadcast. Got some folks in there now that I see. In fact, if I run down the roll call, I can tell you that Lethal Migraine is in the chat room. Mm-hmm. AC Wraith, Moltile, Stephen Van Dam, and Thar66 all hanging out with us. And we do appreciate your dedication over the year to continue to be there just to listen to the show. We do appreciate that. So thank you very, very much. Let's see. You were gone last week.
Yes, I was.
Did the show.
Yeah, what a miss.
Well, I did the show entirely by myself. you missed one of your games being voted as Game of the Year from the Video Game Awards.
Which one?
Sekiro.
Sekiro. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I need to finish that.
Was voted as Game of the Year over Death Stranding, which I really thought was going to win the whole thing, but did not. So,
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe if it was like the Academy Awards of Cinema, maybe it would have.
Possibly,
I don't know. It seems like movies give those awards to like those flighty, weird.
It's a lot more, yeah.
Type things like that.
Death Stranding is a lot more cinematic than you would,
yeah,
like something like any of the other games that were nominated. To be honest with you,
yeah.
But that's just Kojima's way, really.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other things that you missed. Obviously, the reveal of Microsoft's next console,
mm-hmm,
and what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We got some follow up stuff on that. As far as
Xbox X,
Xbox Series X,
yeah.
They can't stick to one thing. Apparently,
mm-hmm,
there will never be an Xbox 2, you know,
mm-hmm,
or an Xbox 3 or 4 or 5. It has to be something else. They never wanted to follow in the path I know of PlayStation, but they seem to have wanted to maintain,
mm-hmm,
because when they went from the original Xbox to the next one, PlayStation was going into their third.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was going to be the PlayStation 3. And I am almost without a doubt sure that marketing told them that we can't call it 2. We can't have ours saying 2 and then theirs saying 3.
Mm-hmm.
That means theirs is better
the
than
lesser,
ours or whatever.
The lesser,
yeah,
one, more advanced, since we've been doing this longer than they have. Why would you go back to 2?
Right.
We got a 3.
They don't exactly want to do that. They didn't want to do that. And
yeah,
so they had to come up with something. And again, going back to marketing, I'm pretty sure they came up with Xbox 360 so they could also have the 3 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to do what they did. Then I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in the marketing meetings after that. Well, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Their research, their, you know, studies and everything else showed that we can make our box an all-in-one system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they came up with the One, you know, Xbox One, because they wanted to. And that's what they pitched at their thing. Like, look, it's tied into your TV.
Yeah. Your one and only source,
yeah,
of entertainment.
Yeah.
The Xbox One.
Exactly. It'll operate your TV, and you can scroll through your TV channels on it, and you can watch Netflix on it, and you can do all these apps and things. And that's what they wanted it to be, and it did not end up doing that. It became a mainstay for a lot of people as far as, this is where I go to use my apps.
Yeah.
But for the most part, nobody got rid of their cable box or their cable thing.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people got rid of their cable, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing that they didn't see happening when they made this, like, hey, it works with your regular television and your television subscription. Something they didn't see was the swift decline of cable subscription type, mm-hmm, stuff, where people just moved into the streaming,
yeah,
era of like Netflix and Hulu and things like that. Mm-hmm. They did not foresee that. And I don't know that anybody could have, but it happened. And that's what a lot of people use their box for.
Yeah, in terms of cable, I mean, you know, you probably heard it yourself. If you've subscribed to cable and know anybody who has cable, you probably heard this all the time. I've got 500 plus channels and only watch like six of them. I'm not getting enough value for what I'm paying every month.
Yeah.
That you probably heard that some variation of that before.
I've dropped mine down. So I used to be on the top tier. Like, give me all that stuff. Give me all the channels and things. And I was like, I turned into the same thing where it's like, I'm not watching any of this stuff. I'm playing more games and I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
But I'm still using apps and things like that. And I still use apps. And so what I eventually did was jump over to the television streaming side of things. Although the PlayStation View, which is one of those, has now, you know, as of January, they'll be done. Mm-hmm. They're closing it up. So, and so then Xbox One, and there was the Kinect that was attached to it and came with it, mm-hmm. and then they got rid of that because nobody was buying their machine for that mm-hmm. kind of price.
Didn't they say you had to have a Kinect to? Do some originally, they early. Did,
yeah. Originally, they said a lot of things that they backtracked on.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, it's not something I go back to. And like, anytime they say anything now, it's not something I look back and say, "Well, remember, mm-hmm. they said we were going to have a Kinect, and we didn't." I don't ever think about those things. Whenever they tell us new stuff, I never consider those things. Because it is what it is. It's going to do their thing. I'm reading the comment here from Lethal Migraine. Everything that people complained about with the Xbox One reveal is stuff people love now. I think it was Dan Matrick, by the way, not Don. Dan Matrick may suck at advertising, but his vision has been realized. And it's damn good. I don't know. What did we complain about with the Xbox One reveal? I can't remember.
Other than the Kinect?
Well, I tell you, I remember the thing that we complained about, and I mean, we got the episode, we could go back to prove it, mm-hmm. was the fact that they focused on their reveal. Was it Don? I thought it was Don. Dan. Why was I thinking Dan Matrick? Mm. Why am I thinking Dan? It's Don. Anyway. Going back to it, the thing that we complained about was their focus at that reveal mm-hmm. for Xbox One. I mean, this is going back years, folks. Was TV, 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 TV.
Oh, yeah.
Here's all the things it can do. Oh, by the way, here's 10 minutes of games. And it was Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know? And that was something... This was a pre-E3 thing, and mm-hmm. and they were getting it out of the way so that they could focus on the games for E3. But the reveal of the new console was just like, here's all these things: TV, TV, sports, TV, TV, rewind. It does all this stuff, and here's some games that it plays.
Yeah,
and
still, because the mentality is still, you're still a game console, and you're mm-hmm. not focusing on games; you're focusing on TV things.
Yeah, and that was the reveal. There was the other stuff that came out afterwards about being always connected to the internet.
Yeah, they'll say in the chat rooms mentioning always had to be connected to the internet.
Right,
always.
And then there was that whole thing with some of the PR folk that worked for them were not helping their problems there.
Yeah,
in the way they were handling things about like, who doesn't have internet? Why don't you have internet? Everybody's got internet.
Yeah,
everybody has internet. They just don't have the best of internet. And then there's internet caps that come along where they're download caps or whatever. And so, I don't know. There was
got fired for that tweet he put out, wasn't he?
He did, and I can't remember. See, that's the thing. As Adam something?
I have to look that up. I'll look it up.
I can't remember his name. But he said something to the effect. But it wasn't necessarily just him. That was kind of the language that was going around because, again, going back to Don Matrick.
Adam Orth,
yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to Don Matrick, I remember him saying something like, well, if people, because they were talking about the whole digital storefront type thing.
Right.
It's going to be a digital age and everything's going to be digital. You can't buy your games. But if people want to buy their games, we've still got the 360 for them. And that was mm-hmm. just like, yeesh, that was bad. That was bad. That was bad. That was bad.
I remember one of the two of the Sony guys up there. It's like how to trade games, because you couldn't trade games or something on there. So like how to trade games on PlayStation, just give one person gave the game to the other person, just trade it. But you can't do that on a Xbox One. Or
you can like now, or yeah. You totally can.
But when it first came out, you couldn't.
Well, it wasn't just when it first came out. It was when it was first announced.
Yeah. Okay.
That option wasn't going to be there because it was going to be a purely digital thing. It was going to be tied to your name.
Yeah.
So there was no way that you could hand over your game to somebody else.
Exactly, yeah.
Because there was no physical copy that would exist type of thing.
Yeah, me and you, we know the deal. We've been swapping games for years.
Yeah, and so, you know, this was before the console actually hit the market. This was during the E3 stuff and whatever. Again, Microsoft goes first, Sony goes second. Microsoft comes out with, it's going to cost you $500. Sony says, it's only going to cost you $350, I don't know, $400, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was cheaper.
Basically, less.
Yeah, it was less, and that was the point. It was going to have, it wasn't a pure digital thing. There were going to be actual consoles. I mean, the market, the demand, everything, the consumers, the people that you're marketing to, the environment that you're marketing to, that you're building up towards, it changes constantly. So the one big thing that you've prepared for this console release, being connected to your television and being a digital type future, may evolve between the time you release it and say 3 years into your system, when it's a 6 or 7 year system cycle.
Yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
4K wasn't even a thing at the time. You know, mm-hmm. It was coming, but it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So, or at least not a thing like it is now, where you can't throw a rock without hitting a 4K TV.
Yeah.
So
they're everywhere now, ain't they?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's a
standard feature now.
Yeah,
4K.
Standard. Yeah. You can't get it any different. So. Yeah, it changes. It constantly changes. And whatever they're going for on this one, which they haven't told us, because all they've done is given us a name and given us what the console looks like.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't given us any ideas to, you know, the functionality, I guess, of it. Other than the fact that it's going to be out of the box backwards compatible with almost every single previous Xbox system.
Oh, there was a message talking about backwards compatibility. Yeah.
Yeah. Like full on,
yeah.
They
know that works.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing being that your controllers will work with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Previous controllers will work with this one. That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Everyone should adopt that.
What more can you do with the controller now? Anyway, I mean, what other features could be added on that thing?
Well, you say that, but go look at the Xbox Elite controller thing. That mm-hmm. $250 controller.
Uh-huh.
I mean. That thing
is because it was
$250. You've seen Matt's brought his in. Have you messed with it? Yeah,
I just held it. I'm like,
the fact that it's so modular, the way you can adjust the tension of the buttons, the triggers, things like that. I mean, it's very, very, very customizable down to your what you need and that sort of thing. I think controller innovation I think there's plenty of ways for controller innovation.
Well, I mean, I said, but let me think. I just remembered PlayStation's got something coming out in January, that thing you attach to the bottom of it.
We got that, that adds some buttons to it or something?
It's like an LCD screen and something that's on the back. I don't know what it is. It adds functionalities. It adds functions to the DualShock 4, but... Okay.
Yeah. I've got something about that they released, which is odd because, you know, here it is in life of the system and like, oh, here we're adding a controller peripheral on it.
Yeah.
Something you can add to your controller. Oh,
yeah,
all right.
The Elites. Oh, yeah. Lethal Migrant. The Elites. The Elite 2 for Xbox was 170. Elite 1 was 150.
Yeah, I don't know why I got 250 for. Well, are you sure when it released it was not higher than that?
Was it a Steam controller?
No.
I know there's some controllers out there that are up there. Up there in price because of the customizability that you said. Scuff Gaming comes to mind.
I thought I remembered the controller being just outrageous. I mean, that is kind of outrageously priced, $150. I don't know.
I could buy a fight stick for that.
Forgive me for misquoting if the price was $150 and I said $250. Doesn't make it better. Yes, you knock off $100, but you're still paying $150 for a controller. or now for $170 for the Elite 2 mm-hmm. version. There are people who want to do that, and that is perfectly fine with them. I know the fighting game crowd have spent gobs of money on controllers.
Yeah, fight sticks, special
fight
controllers,
sticks,
customized things.
On
that,
all
yeah.
those things, yeah.
Modding myself, having to take out the buttons, put new buttons in there, put silencers in there, new stick, better stick.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll
yeah.
relate to myself.
Artwork.
Yeah. I'll relate to myself. Now, I bought, you know, I guess it's relatable that the Xbox Elite is $170, the Elite 2 is $170, and that's for a controller. Mm-hmm. But I spent a good amount of money on a new keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
From a PC.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot more functions than just a controller does for your yeah. Xbox, but it's kind of the same type of deal.
Yeah.
I spent an absorbent amount of money on an input device.
Performance level mouse and keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, and then I bought that stupid mouse pad, too.
Yeah, I'm still the biggest thing that I took from that mouse pad was that it took power. Didn't require light up.
Yeah, and you gotta plug it in USB.
You gotta plug it in.
It's LED. It's lit up.
Yeah, I thought just memory foam and memory gel, something like that was the highest feature. Nope.
It's a nice mouse pad.
Better be.
I was surprised by the footprint that the keyboard takes up, less mm-hmm. than it did on my old one.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I mean, they've really, really minimized those yeah. things, taking a whole lot of XX plastic off of it.
Mm-hmm. Streamlining amount of power it takes, yeah.
Yeah.
Over time, it just gradually down. Remember how much power TVs used to take, those big CRTs?
Oh, yeah.
And now how much they take up now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. It sits on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that's our discussion there. There are some things that I said, you know, that they talked about this past week. I'm trying to find something about branding for next-gen hardware. We'll talk about that. We got Games with Gold this for next month and PlayStation Now for next month. Mm. We have that one. Phil Spencer mentioned something about 1 versus 100 again, which was wonderful. I hope they bring that back.
Mm. Yeah, I missed out on that. Yeah. Heard about it. Never took a time to play that.
Not a lot of news. I mean, there was a whole lot of news, obviously, from last week because there were a ton of game reveals.
Right.
There was a new console reveal at the Game Awards, that sort of thing. So we've got, we might step back into that, although not that I think there's any reason to, because I don't think mm-hmm. there was anything that really would have been something that you would have been interested in. I know Ghost of Tsushima, or whatever it is.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was shown off a little bit more of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to fall into your wheelhouse, but, you know.
It might. I'm still, by the time I finish Sekiro, it'll probably be
right, yeah.
up and available.
You might be tired of the whole samurai shtick at the moment.
No. I wasn't tired of Dark Souls every time I kept playing that, so I'll just keep playing that. So
I am I'm doing the Reddit Secret Santa thing.
Okay.
And I got my gift, but you know what? It doesn't actually matter. I almost bought. He was a Dark Souls fan.
Okay.
So I almost bought him the Praise the Sun statue.
Oh, okay.
You know, from Dark Souls.
Yeah.
But I realized what I was getting him was kind of like a cheap knockoff.
Oh.
For like $15.
Yeah.
I was like, well, let me go to the original. And I found the original. Huh?
Was it Solaire?
Yeah.
The dude with the bucket on the head?
Yeah. And I found the original, and it was like...
Jolly Cooperation.
Yeah, it was $350. Yeah. I was like, I'm not getting this guy that. So I ended up getting him a nice...
it should be something in the 70, 50 to 60 range or something like that.
I got him an art book from the film Blade Runner 2049. He said he liked that.
Okay.
And then the other thing, I want to say the piece de resistance or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
was a figure from the BioShock series.
A Big Daddy?
Wasn't a Big Daddy, no. It was just one of the inhabitants of Rapture.
Rapture, okay.
That had gone, you know.
Because I'm trying to think between, it was either the Big Daddy or the Little Sisters. That's the iconic
image of BioShock. Those are the iconics. And
yeah.
But this was not one of those. This was from the NECA toy line, which is North American, it's something about toys. What is NECA? National Entertainment?
NECCA?
No, not C, just one, yeah. National Entertainment Collectibles Association.
Oh, okay.
NECA.
Okay.
In fact, let me go to their website right now. I wonder if it's under toys or collectibles. Let's just turn, let me tell you what, let's just look under BioShock. See what I can find. Anyway, my Reddit Secret Santa pulled through with me quite nicely, by the way. Got me an autographed script from the pilot episode of Deadwood.
Nice.
Which I'm a big fan
of. Very nice.
I'm a massive fan of Deadwood. Okay, so yeah. It's one of the splicers. And I'm one of the splicers. It's really well detailed and nice looking, so that's what I sent. So anyway. When we come back, we will talk about what RJ has played in the 2 weeks that he's been gone, if anything at all. And then we'll talk about we'll hit into some of the news as well. We're going to be playing pretty much in full these Christmas tunes that we're going in and out of commercials with. So we hope you enjoy them. This one comes, again, from a game that we have not used music for as far as, you know, I don't even know if we've used music for the game at all. But the track is called Gilded Gifts, and it comes from Sea of Thieves. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Thank you. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Playing pretty much the entire tracks that we have set up for today. This comes from another game that I don't think I've ever used music from. Mm-hmm. Fable.
Okay.
Goes back a ways.
Yeah.
This is the track for something called Hook Coast, which I don't remember anything about Fable to tell you anything about that. But I enjoyed the music. So anyway, welcome back to the show. Yeah, I was looking at the video for this this controller add-on for the PlayStation, for the DualShock. Comes out January 23rd. It adds two buttons. It says on the back, but it's more like it's under, you know?
Yeah, it is under.
Two customizable buttons under your DualShock 4. They're programmable. You can make them be anything you want them to be. I need to really hold a PlayStation controller again to see what that feels like, and to see if it's even worth it, you know? You're thinking you got one back there?
No, I got something similar. Well, it's a Logitech. That's right. Logitech in there. That's right. Yeah.
It's fine. No need. But
should have brought one.
I still don't know. What would you do with it? What would you do with it?
Well, there are some games where the control set themes is set. It's stuck. You can't change the buttons the way you want to. And I was thinking maybe sometimes there are functions on the sensor pad on the top of the DS4. Maybe you can change up to something in the back. Instead of having to reach your thumb up and hit that pad, you know, click your fingers on the back and hit the back of that
of that thing,
something like that. A button that's difficult to reach. L3 and R3. Maybe you don't press it well. Maybe you mess up the analog doing
that. True, maybe.
So hit the back buttons to do it that way. Extra buttons.
Be great if it would record button presses. You know what I'm saying?
I know a lot of fighting games in training mode, L3 and R3 is like record. So you can like hit that and then start recording. It makes it a little easier.
No. Yeah, exactly. What I would like it to do would be, I'm trying to think of a game I could get give some relation to, something where.
You play Burnout, right?
Yeah, I did play Burnout.
Okay, here the gas. The gas is R2. The brakes is L2. Shift gears. Hit the back buttons.
Maybe you don't shift gears in that game, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, something like that.
It could be a gear shift thing.
I thought any driving game had something to shift gears in.
No, they don't shift gears. It's arcadey.
Yeah.
It's arcadey, man.
So is Daytona, but you shift gears in that.
Yeah. No gear shifting in Burnout. It is flat out. You go fast. You're either boosting or you're braking. That's it.
And crashing.
Yeah. Let me use Destiny as a reference, because you knew I would. But
hey, this is a game you're most familiar with, so have at it.
You know,
is there a function that's in that game that you wish was easier to access?
Well, I can do that on the PC. I can make a macro type thing. Yeah. But on PS4, what I would do is I would record it to where when I press the button, it brings up the character screen and immediately jumps over to the clan screen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or brings up the settings screen without having to go through two or three different steps to get to the settings screen. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's say when you're on a planet, anytime you want to go to the maps, you hit, on PC, I hit the M button. Well, that brings up the map of the planet I'm on. Mm-hmm. And then I need to go up to destinations and then move over to the actual other planets and then launch into those if I want to do that. Let's say I made it to where it recorded so that I could press that button, and it records the function of opening up maps and going to destinations, which this is all stuff you can map in the PC version of the game.
Yeah,
I can map any part of that game to a single button press, and it'll bring it up if I needed to. Can't do that on the PlayStation though. So maybe I don't know. Maybe that's something if it allows recording of controller presses. I don't know. Anyway, what's it running? Like $30?
I think $30. It's on pre-order now, so.
We'll find out
about a month from now. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out once the 23rd hits of January, and see all the ways that people actually do end up using this thing.
I mean, yeah, someone's going to use it for something. Like two extra buttons.
Now, I was talking about BioShock earlier, and we got an announcement that 2K Games is working on a new BioShock game, and it's a ways out. It's a good ways out after BioShock Infinite, but having another BioShock in the can, or at least in the works, is something to be, I guess, excited for, or at least a little bit skeptical. I mean, what's his name? Ken Levine.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be working on it, from what I understand.
Mm.
But what they did find out was the new BioShock has been in the works for years. What 2K didn't say is that this project has already been in the works since at least 2015, although it's been rebooted since then. The truth is that BioShock 4, codenamed Parkside, has existed for years, according to four people familiar with the project. Cloud Chamber is the developer who will work on the next BioShock. 2K had contracted an outside studio to do it. In 2015, Parkside was entering development at Certain Affinity. It's a Austin, Texas-based studio, best known for helping out on huge shooters like Halo and Call of Duty. This was a big opportunity for them, which was founded in 2006 by an ex-Bungie developer, and had mostly subsisted on contract work for external publishers. It's not clear why Certain Affinity's version of Parkside was canceled. We've heard different versions of the story from different people. But by 2017, 2K had moved it to California, where the publisher's corporate offices are based. In the coming months, 2K started quietly recruiting staff, including some who worked on Mafia 3.
Hmm.
Parkside team stayed small as their new BioShock entered early pre-production. Team remained quiet. And today, 2 years after the studio formed, 2K has finally announced its existence. 2K said Cloud Chamber has started to work on the next iteration of the globally acclaimed BioShock franchise. BioShock, the second BioShock, this led to 2K quietly shutting down its main. The third game, BioShock Infinite, shipped after years of cuts and reboots. Irrational, the studio behind 1 and 3, shut down a year later, and now it's BioShock 4's turn. So, see how that goes. Mm-hmm. See what they do with it. It's announced. Doesn't really mean much more than, hey, we're thinking about doing this.
Yeah.
We're in the process of maybe doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You may never see it for another 5-10 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I didn't get too much of exposure to BioShock. I mean, I played a bit of one. I fully played two. But Infinite was okay. So it's not something I'm like really looking forward to. I mean, it'll be one of those titles that'll just sneak up on me like, oh, BioShock is out. Let's check it out and see what it's all about. But it's something I'm not.
I didn't play one. I played some of one. I played some of two.
Yeah.
I eventually, to catch up for three, I eventually watched.
Three is what? Infinite?
Yeah. BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Which I played through the entire thing of that. But eventually, to get caught up on the story and everything else, not that I really needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched playthroughs of BioShock 1 and BioShock 2.
Yeah. Thor says you missed the best one, the first. Yeah. For me, the one that gave me the most pleasant experience was 2, but I'll have to get back on to see what 1 was about. Because like you, I've just watched maybe YouTube videos mostly. I remember playing very little of it and then putting it down and then going to something else.
I mean, 1 was about on, 1 was about the whole Andrew Ryan thing.
Yeah. The would you kindly
yes.
type part, yeah.
Andrew, it was just the discovery of it. And then 2 was sort of like, let's expand on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept the same setting. There really wasn't
But the story kept me interested in that one. Really.
It seemed like it would be an anthology series where it's just like, here's BioShock.
Yeah.
Here you play it. Now here's BioShock Infinite. Completely different setting. Completely mm-hmm. different thing. Although, I mean, it had its similarities, obviously.
Yeah.
Some wacko dude goes on his own and forms a completely new city and away from society and completely away, so far away that you can't get to it unless you use their means to do so. And all is not what it seems type thing, that sort of stuff. Things went bad. Three was, and by three, I mean Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the discovery of what 3 did. We talked about it at length on this show and what mm-hmm. they were doing. I loved the stories that 3 was telling, that Infinite was telling, as far as not necessarily the time travel aspects, but you know what I mean. The whole situation. As the reveal, as everything started to reveal itself,
yeah.
I got more and more intrigued.
Yeah. New society, you think everything's all right, but then, wait a minute. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, as the further I went into the game and further the story was revealing itself to me, the more I was down for what they were doing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That two for me was kind of like that for me for two. It was like really interesting seeing how you as a big daddy got with Elizabeth, and then that reveal of seeing how efficient Elizabeth was in her suit. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. That was a prequel, wasn't it?
I can't recall offhand.
I think it was. I think it was a prequel. Mm-hmm. What else we got? Redbox is no longer renting video games.
Yeah.
They're stopping that. I think they're having a sale on some of their games, too, by the way.
Yeah, I think they're trying to clear out stock. Yeah.
The one that happened that I think you were here for, but we really didn't go into it, with the whole MLB The Show.
Yeah.
Losing the exclusive rights to PlayStation now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Sony Interactive, Major League Baseball, extending their long-term deal to continue developing MLB The Show, but it'll no longer be PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
In a news release, Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball Players Association, and Sony announced an unspecified multi-year extension of their partnership, but they also confirmed that the game will appear on consoles beyond PlayStation platforms as soon as 2021.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an interesting deal.
I'm just guessing at this point. Show may not be selling as well as it used to in the past. And they're trying to get more numbers up.
I'm curious, yeah. No, I'm curious what brought that about. If it's sales or if it is...
Well, it's inherently a sports title. And we've talked about what the biggest flaw of sports titles is. How much more can you really improve? Because basically at some point you're going to get to the point where all you're doing is a roster update. And you can do that with a patch.
Yeah.
I mean, how many more features can you add to the game of baseball? How many more features could you add to the game of football? Any sport, actually. It's going to get to a point where it's just like, we can't do anymore. It's just maybe a little touch up here and there. So sales, I'm guessing sales has gone down. So they're trying to get exposure to as many consoles as possible. So the exclusivity deal, let it go. Get it on as much as you can.
A commenter on this story says, it sounds a lot like Major League Baseball was tired of leaving money on the table and pushed for it, because there was zero benefit for them in having the only serious baseball sim being on a single platform. Yeah, I don't know. Plenty of other games have had, you know, exclusives on whatever, but I just think it seems like a big deal for Sony to be involved with that. Sony seems very, I don't want to say stingy, closed off, I guess, kind of like, this is our property, don't touch it, we don't want to give it to anybody else type thing, you know?
Money influences things.
Money,
man.
Influences,
so, hey,
and likely they could have lost the license, maybe.
Possibly, yeah.
It could have been on the table of, like, you got to get this out to more consoles than just your own.
Yeah.
And if you don't, we're going to ship it around here to find somebody that will.
Oh, yeah, nothing like impact to profit to make a company change its steadfast policies.
There was another story with this, was that MLB The Show going to other consoles could be 2021's biggest story 2 years early. Let's see. Over the years, as sports fans try to skull out some hypothetical, any hypothetical that could deliver a simulation baseball game on Xbox One, inevitably, someone would wonder why Sony wouldn't just make MLB The Show for Xbox anyway if there was no competing product over there. Wouldn't they sell more and make more money? Was the logic. Sure, I always thought, and occasionally replied, why doesn't Chevy make parts for Ford, too? Wouldn't they sell more and make more money, too? That's what makes last week's news so forehead-smacking. The exact thing I disparaged as an idle or uninformed forum argument actually came true. Considering Sony had to be Frog March by developers large and small into cross-platform play, we could be seeing video gaming's biggest business story of 2021 2 years early. It depends on who gave up what to get to this point, but it does illustrate just how extraordinarily limiting an exclusive licensing agreement ended up being for the league that sold it, rather than the publishers and the developers, or in this case, console owners, frozen out by it. This deal was a third-party construction, meaning console makers were free to develop their own MLB games, and Sony continued to do so. Meanwhile, Take-Two's plans for MLB 2K can best be described as having more money than brains. Yeah. The real loser in all of this, Major League Baseball. Sure, it got paid, but now it had no dancing partner on Xbox right as the Xbox One was launching. This is talking about the deal they made with Sony for the exclusivity there. Electronic Arts' MVP engine was more than a generation old. No one wanted to play. Yeah. And 2021 does mean that this will not be on Xbox One. It'll be on the Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm. Is where we'll be playing this. So it'll be on a next-gen console. If it's coming to Nintendo, I don't know what the lifespan of the Switch is, but I think the Switch will be around in 2021. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Nintendo will be looking to do anything new with the Switch. I don't know what their lifespan is considered for that or what. Mm. It still feels rather brand new.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. Has Nintendo ever just given up on a system? I mean, what was it? Did they give up on the Wii completely?
It feels like they gave up on the Wii U.
Okay. Wii U. Okay. So what was the lifespan of the Wii U, man?
I can't remember. I'd have to look it up for you. The Wii had very strong legs when it launched.
Okay.
Massively strong legs. That thing was, couldn't find it in stores. It was the epitome of the Christmas toy you can't find, you know?
Yeah.
The hot item of the holiday, and you couldn't find it on shelves. They couldn't keep it stocked. It was selling on eBay for massive amounts, just the system itself. People were buying two when they could, so they could sell one and make back the money. Mm-hmm. Like I said, massively strong legs. Nintendo knows what they do. They limit, you know.
Okay, they said lifespan was 2012 to 2017.
That seems awfully longer than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Years. Discontinued on January 31st, 2017. Worldwide sold 13.56 million.
The Wii U felt like what the Xbox One X is. Like, here's another version of this system.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, look up what's the Wii's lifespan?
The Wii.
Okay. Yeah. You said the Wii U was 2012, right?
2012 to 2017 was when that was.
Yeah, what's the Wii?
Let's see, released in 2006.
Six, okay.
Discontinued in the North...
Something seems to have shocked you.
It says 2017 for North America, but 2013 in Japan, 2013 in the EU, 2017 in Australia.
I wonder if the Wii U and the Wii were considered, you know.
RVL-001? Is that the type?
I have no idea.
I guess that's the model type. There was a total. The model 001 was discontinued in 2011 in October for the U.S. And, let's see, RVL-101 was discontinued in 2013.
Anyway, they haven't abandoned a console or given it a shorter life. I just... Mm-hmm. The Wii U just felt like things had gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like, they had such strong legs with the Wii, they thought they could do it again with the Wii U, but the naming was horrible. I think the reception of it wasn't that great either. And...
I guess they had that more of the same type
reaction. Yeah, they had to really go back to the drawing board again, which is, you know, how we got the Switch. Mm-hmm. So, anyway... When we come back, let's see, where did we leave off? We talked about the MLB The Show. We're going to go into, we'll talk about that branding for the Xbox Series X. And we'll do the PlayStation Now games, the Xbox games with gold as well.
I still want to call it Xbox X.
I know, yeah. Well, I mean, then there was the Xbox One X. So, anyway. We'll be back in a bit. Again, continuing with our Christmas music theme here. I mentioned this earlier in the show. It's a game we've used music for, but that we have It has a wintry thing within it. There are levels that are consisted, you know, that's that are considered wintry, Christmassy, holiday, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Kingdom Hearts 3 has the Frozen section, mm-hmm. where, and I'm going to get this wrong, I have confession, maybe, I don't know if it's a confession. Usually you feel guilty about a confession. I've never seen the movie Frozen.
That's not a confession.
I know, right?
It's just a fact.
Just be up front with you. I've never seen the movie Frozen.
Same here.
I will probably screw up the title of this. Arendelle? I don't know, but it's from Kingdom Hearts 3. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, playing Christmas music from video games, is how we're doing this. That was from Stardew Valley. It was called Winter Festival, something like that. So that's kind of the things we're going for here on this one. I want to read about this Microsoft, the branding thing, because it's one of the that's one of the rants I went on last week with the naming convention and things like that. Microsoft, this comes from GameIndustry.biz. Microsoft has suggested that the Xbox Series X will only be the first console in its new generation of hardware and that the generation will simply be branded Xbox. Let's see. Point was made in response to inquiries from Business Insider. I don't know why I can't talk today. Which noticed a quirk in the way the Xbox Series X name was presented at the Game Awards, specifically that the word Xbox was heavily foregrounded with new and Series X much smaller above and below it. The name we're carrying forward to the next generation is simply Xbox, a Microsoft representative said. And at the Game Awards, you saw that name come to life through the Xbox Series X. The current generation of hardware was named Xbox One, with both S and X models released. The hardware released in the generation before was all under the 360 brand. This generation will be a return to Microsoft's first run at the console market with the common brand among all hardware being simply Xbox. Microsoft made it clear that it was leaving the way clear for multiple iterations of hardware in this generation. Similar to what fans have seen with previous generations, the name Xbox Series X allows room for additional consoles in the future, said the rep. We're excited to offer fans a glimpse of the next generation of gaming with Xbox Series X, but beyond that, we have nothing further to share. Whatever that means that they're going to do, yes, just like it was with the S and the X, they have the Xbox Series Z. I don't know. Who knows? That was the other thing, was that I don't care what your console looks like or what you're naming it, what's on the inside and what can it do?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. What can your game system do?
First and foremost is your library, and then the functionality.
I'm not really worried about their library on it, to be honest with you. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I mean, Microsoft has been buying studios up left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Their library really shouldn't be a problem at this point. It is, but it shouldn't be, compared to what Sony's got going for it.
Mm-hmm.
With their exclusives and their studios that they have with Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War, Spider-Man, Uncharted, Last of Us. There's probably others that I'm not thinking about, but they have, and that's a good, that's a pretty good roster, you know, of some exclusive titles. Microsoft has the Halo series, which is still good. The Gears series, also good. They have the Forza series, which I'm guessing is good. I'd have to talk to some people who enjoy racing games to tell me.
Gran Turismo is still a thing, right?
If it is, I don't think they're doing anything with it.
Yeah. I think the last thing I saw was that Lewis Hamilton add-on.
Yeah, the thing they tried to do was the Drive Club.
Okay.
And that didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
So, and there's other exclusives that Microsoft has. I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to diminish whatever it is that they have on offer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that for the most part, Sony's, they've got a pretty big footprint on the exclusive title market, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of the games people want to play can only be found on that one system. Mm-hmm. So, seems to be it. Trying to think of what else Microsoft has. They have a lot of things that are just exclusive to them. Or the fact that you can play them on PC as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they decide to do with it. Yeah, I know. Without Naughty Dog, Sony Studios are pretty lousy. I don't necessarily know that they're lousy, although Naughty Dog is amazing with what they've been able to do with both Uncharted and Last of Us, and been able to work on both games pretty much at the same time.
Yeah.
While still being not a very big studio. Being able to do that's pretty amazing. In fact, of all those exclusives that I was listing off for Sony, that's the only studio that has two of those in there, in that list. God of War is a separate studio from Horizon Zero Dawn, separate studio from The Spider-Man team. So, yeah. Our games for gold, speaking of Xbox, for January is Styx Shards of Darkness. Styx spelled like the band, by the way. or the river. Shards of Darkness, that happens. That will be available on Xbox One the entire month of January. This was interesting. Batman the Telltale series will be available from the 16th of January to February the 15th on Xbox One. Does that include the entire series or just like season one? Didn't they do two seasons with the Batman Telltale series?
I don't know. I never played it.
I'd have to look that up. Tekken 6 will be available. It is a backwards compatibility game from the 360 days. That'll be from the 1st to the 15th. And then LEGO Star Wars 2, the original trilogy, available from the 16th to the 31st. Again, backwards compatibility title on that one. Mm. I'm looking at the comments. Pretty decent. Nobody's talking about Batman if it's like season one or season two or all of it. And I don't know. For PlayStation and their PlayStation Now service, you get some pretty good games, but they're games you probably already have. On January 2nd, you'll be able to have access to Horizon Zero Dawn.
Which I've already bought.
Right.
The Legendary Edition was like, what?
It was like $10.
$10, yeah. So,
yeah. $10 or $12. I mean, it was cheap.
Yeah. All the DLC included. Yeah. Legendary Edition, so yeah.
Overcooked 2 will be available.
No, never played that.
Yeah, and then Uncharted The Lost Legacy, that little expansion game.
Got that already.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's typically the case in these things, like something I wasn't going to play or something I've already got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe it's going to be more like for the games for gold. Maybe a part of it, so you'll buy the second, get a little taste of it. Because that's usually what happens with PS Plus. It's like they'll give you the default vanilla version, and then all the DLC you'll have to pick up later. I think they did that for Neo. Neo was vanilla when it came out, and then but the DLC in there wasn't available. You'd still have to pick that up when they offered that for free. So maybe the same thing's going on with games for gold.
Yeah, I went through and I picked up some free games as well.
Yeah,
I picked up this month's free games not too long ago, and I can't remember what it was.
For PlayStation Plus?
Yeah.
I think it was Titanfall 2.
Which I already had, and then the other one.
Monster Sports Motocross or something like that.
I don't know. I picked it up.
Yeah, I just put it in the library at this point. Just stick it in the library. It'll be there when you get it.
And it's the same thing I do with all these. You know, if it's free, I go grab it. In fact, Epic Games is doing their Epic Game Store is doing a free game a day through the end of the year.
Wow.
But if you miss out that day, it's not like you get to go back and be like, here's all the days I missed. Let me grab these. It's like you get it on that day or you don't get it at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I need to load up today's and see what today's is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let me look. Maybe I already know. Yep. Super Hot.
Mm.
Super Hot is free on the Epic Store today only. Super Hot, of course, is that game where when you move, that's when time moves.
Yeah.
So
you see the bullets coming.
Yeah, so you got to get out of the way.
Yeah.
But if you move, then, the only time the action moves is when you move.
Yeah, so you're stuck in bullet time.
Basically.
Yeah.
But so you don't get the speed that they do, though.
Mm-mm.
Bullet time was more of the bullet slows down, but I can move, I can freely kind of move around it if I need to.
Yeah.
This one is... you're not moving fast. Every move, by the way.
Yeah.
Not just sidestepping, to the left or to the right or moving forward or moving backward. If you turn the mouse, if you want to look behind you.
Yeah.
The movement of your moving behind you is also advancing time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's some really cool.
Yeah, I can think of all types of situations that can go wrong in there. Like if you open a door and they're shooting at the door, but someone's coming up behind you. Prioritize. Mm-hmm. You want to take out the guy shooting from the door? You want to prioritize the person coming up from behind you?
It can be... Into the Breach was the first, and Towerfall Ascension was the second. Into the Breach was something I was already... I went to my Steam wish list and was like, let me see what's on my wish list that's for sale, because Steam is doing their winter sale.
Yeah.
I was like, let's see what's on sale. Let's see what's into that realm of, okay, I'll buy that, you know, for a dollar. And I was scrolling through. And I was like, oh, there's Into the Breach. Yeah, that's another one. Mm-hmm. But it was down, I think it was down like $7. And I was like, get down to $5. I might pick it up. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. Whatever. I didn't really think about it. But then I opened up Epic Games Store. I was like, oh, it's free. Now I have it. Now I don't have to worry about it. Towerfall Ascension was another one. I think Towerfall Ascension I have on my PlayStation. I think that was one of the free PlayStation Plus games at some point. So I still picked it up on PC. Again, it's there. Put it in your library. You've got it.
Yeah.
I'll do the same thing with Superhot, even though I own it already.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, fine. I'll take it.
Yeah. And then you look back like a couple months later, it's like, wait, I didn't realize I had that game.
Whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Whole lot of games.
There's been plenty of times when I look at my library, like, when did I get this?
Yeah, just a ton. Let's see. Was Phil Spencer? Yes. He was giving an interview with an Australian journalist. This is from Destructoid. It says, fond memories of the Xbox 360 are not in short supply. The long-awaited launch of Halo 3, the annual barrage of quality indies during the summer of arcade, Xbox Live parties that stretch till 4 a.m., your third Red Ring of Death. But the one that keeps coming up, probably because it was criminally cut short long before people were tired of it, is 1 vs. 100. The twice-weekly community-driven interactive trivia show was beloved by most all of who played it, including myself. I was one of those who enjoyed it. It turned everyone into a game show contestant, offering up Xbox Live games and currency for those lucky enough to be a part of the 100-strong mob or the one. It's not uncommon for people to lament that Xbox should bring back 1 vs. 100. That opinion goes all the way up to the top. Phil Spencer, when giving an interview, said, we should do it again. He isn't necessarily talking about 1 vs. 100 specifically, because that's a property Microsoft doesn't own.
Yeah.
And would require some sort of leasing licensing agreement. But spiritually, Spencer wants to do something that's the same as 1 vs. 100. Games like HQ Trivia have proven that there's a very sizable audience for live trivia shows. HQ Trivia, by the way, is the one that a coworker here introduced me to it not too long ago.
Because
I went to go ask her a question. And she said, yeah, hang up. I'm playing HQ. I was like, what is that? And she said, well, it's just live. It happens every day at this time. And it's doing a live quiz show. Do you know? And she was going through and like, yep, click, click. And helping me out, you know, in between.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, that is really cool. What do you, win? And she explained the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can win stuff. You can actually win stuff while you're playing this thing. It happens at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day. Or at least did. I don't know what's changed now.
Mm.
But you were playing with others, and every time you got one wrong, you were eliminated. So you could see the amount of people playing.
Yeah.
And you could see the drop off after each and every question.
Yeah.
And you had to go through like 20 questions, I think. And they got significantly harder.
Yeah.
As you
pick
moved
up. Be perfect. So, want to win? Be perfect.
Yeah.
There you go.
Microsoft is in prime position to offer it with Mixer as a streaming service and Project Cloud, allowing people to essentially use their Xbox from mobile devices. Most of the barriers to hosting a live event have been eliminated. Sounds like a matter of when rather than if. Phil Spencer confirms that him and Xbox Game Studios head have brainstormed how something like this might work. He also says resurrecting this sort of trivia show is something we'd love to do, and that he suspects you'll see something from us in that space, because I think it should just happen. After the whole 1 vs. 100 fell through, I was trying to find a fix, you know? I loved it. I was trying to find that fix. They did, Microsoft did a poker thing. And I can't remember what it's called. Something like, I don't know, something night poker live. I don't know what it was. And basically you took your little, you know, remember those characters you made on your Xbox 360 of you?
Yeah.
The little avatars or whatever they were.
Yeah.
So you'd be in like whatever the casino was or something like that. You'd all sit down and play poker.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain achievements you'd have to do, certain things you'd have to do while wearing a Hawaiian shirt. But the Hawaiian shirt, of course, cost
money,
credits or something like that, that you'd have to win in game or something, whatever. It was still something that it still felt like I was playing against other people, which I was. And it was still offering kind of a little bit of what that 1 vs. 100 was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Full House Poker. Thank you, Multile. Thank you. I had forgotten all about it. Full House Poker, which has nothing to do with the TV show. It's not. It's not all the cast of Full House playing poker. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, man. I remember this. God, that goes back to 2013.
Yeah, speaking of what I said earlier about when did I buy this, I think that's some of those poker games I got.
Chip Tricks. I remember Chip Tricks.
What was it? Hustle Kings is one I got on PlayStation. There was another one, Night in the Studio or something like that. It had those characters from, like, Cartoon Network.
And that was Telltale.
Telltale, yeah.
Yeah, that was a poker thing, yeah. Yeah, that was a poker thing on PC. Well, I think it probably was on the on console as well.
Yeah.
But you weren't playing online. You were just playing against
the
AI. Yeah. Because it had the guys from Penny Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
It had the guys from Team Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
It had the guys from Sam and Max.
Yeah.
Were in it as well. I want to say, what's his name from Borderlands? Claptrap was in it.
Claptrap. Ash from Heart of Darkness.
Yeah.
What was that dude, Brock from the Venture Brothers?
Was he in it? Yeah, I think he was in the sequel.
Because I got the second one. I got the second one. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Lethal Migrant says it's HQ trivia. Looks like it's at 8 p.m. Central now.
You're gonna get a lot of folks at that time instead of 2 o'clock. Yeah. Because 2 o'clock folks are at work.
Maybe that was a different, I don't know. Maybe it was a different thing. It costs nothing to play. Like, you don't have to sign up or you know, pay a subscription to do it. You just play.
Mm-hmm.
So, I may look into that, actually. I haven't done any entertainment with my phone in a long time.
Yeah. I think the only trivia game I really got into was You Don't Know Jack. It was from the Jackbox Party Pack, anyway.
Yep.
A lot of trivia on there. Murder Party. Trivia Murder Party was another one I played. That was really good, especially with special with friends.
Yep.
So I can see the allure of it.
Let's see. Should I run that? It'll put us going into the break at about 6 or 5:30 here. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to go into our next break. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and start the music anyway. That is going to come out of this one, so we'll start low. There we go. Apparently, last year, it wasn't this year, but apparently last year, Fortnite put some different music tracks in their game.
Okay.
And it was called the Frostnite packs, I guess, whatever. Fortnite Frostnite.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with just different music you could collect and then go play in a jukebox or something like that, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how Fortnite works.
Mm.
Anyway, there are videos that are about 11 minutes long playing all the different cuts that you could find out in the world or earn out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tried to grab two of them and kind of merge them together as one, which is what I did. So this is from Fortnite called Frostnite, and we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Okay, there's supposed to be music here. It apparently didn't come across. I know I did enough for that, but why didn't it make it across?
Pro level preparation, folks.
Well, I mean, I'd give you.
No, I'm saying it. I say that because it's part of our charm.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. What I'm looking for here is this. Now, from here, I can go.
Who is it from, by the way? Can you remember?
Let me think. Hang on, I can tell you here in just a second, and I can actually have it up here soon. Because that should not be there.
What was in there to begin with?
Let's see. Well, huh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's right. We played the opener. Commercials. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This should be number 7. But I'm looking at all these, and I'm like, we played all of these. Mm-hmm. We played Fable. We played Fortnite. We played Kingdom Hearts. Polar Express opened the show. There's Sea of Thieves. Oh, it's this one. Oops. I added it, and then I deleted it. There it comes. It should be this one if I hit play. I don't know what's going to play, actually.
Watch it be a commercial.
Nope, there it is. Now we're coming back to in-game chat.
Okay. This makes me think of Home Alone.
Good musical score.
Yeah.
John Williams.
Yeah.
Christmas Memories, I think, is what the main theme of that was called. This is from Yooka-Laylee, of all games.
Mm-hmm.
Called Glitter Glaze Glacier.
Yeah.
And it's got a very wintry...
Yeah, this definitely makes me think of John Williams. And
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, surprisingly Christmas-type music from surprising places. Yeah.
It was between this or the... the Polar Express to be our open. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
This was either going to open the show or Polar Express. Polar Express sounded way more Christmassy. Of course, mm-hmm. It is from a game about Christmas.
Yeah.
And so that's the one.
This is a good one, then. This is a good one. Worth the wait.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. Should have also looked up the composers of these tracks. You know, we talked about the Batman Telltale series being on Xbox. The Shadows Edition was also released, which basically just turns the game black and white with some splashes of color.
Okay.
Makes it a very noirish
yeah.
type thing. But like Joker's lips will be red.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So it's like a Mad World?
Maybe, you're right, yeah. Like Mr. Freeze,
his eyes are still red.
The goggles that he wears.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. I still haven't played that series. I should, but I haven't played that series. Mm. Speaking of playing,
yeah.
What have you played? We never got around to that. I'm purposely not telling you what I played because everybody knows what I played. But I don't know what you played.
Well, I got hold of my backlog a little bit. I played one game out of there, actually. Something I've been meaning to play, but finally did. The Hong Kong Massacre. Finally got around to playing
awesome.
That.
I remember, so glad you did.
Yeah, basically.
Because I thought of you when I played that game.
Yeah, basically Hotline Miami with a realistic
look
to it. Yeah, whole lot of dying in that thing, man. I mean, it's like...
It's got slow-mo, doesn't it?
It does have slow-mo, but increasing the difficulty, you have less time to do it. And there are times in there when you need as much as you can get because...
And the role, I think, is your invincibility, right?
Yeah, the role is your invincibility, but... there are times when you roll and they time it perfectly to when you stop rolling, the bullet comes and hits you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And there are times when the bullets, I think it's a door, but it's not. It's a window. So you are seen immediately and get shot. So that's where all those blind shots were coming from. And everybody's as accurate as all get out. I mean, they are pinpointing you. They're not. There's not going to be any errant shots in this game.
Yeah, man. I totally thought of you when I played this at PAX a couple of years back.
Yeah.
In fact, I ran into a friend of mine at PAX when I was there a few years back. Was it a few years or was it this year? I can't remember when it was.
Yeah.
Was it this year or last year?
Probably last year.
It's must have been last year.
Been a while since this game came out, so yeah.
Yeah, I... oh, goodness. Oh, gosh. I know her name. What was her name? Oh, man. Starts with an E, and I'm totally forgetting it.
Emily. Erica.
No. Don't do that. I'll be like, nope, I don't... no. Oh, God, I've lost it. It's an E, but whatever. Edie. That's her name. Edie. Yes, I ran into Edie. I was upstairs on the sixth floor, and I hadn't seen her all the entire time of PAX, and it was the last day of PAX, and we ran into each other, and, hey, what have you liked to see? And I was like, oh, this, and this. She's like, yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I'll go over there. What about you? And then she started listing off all this stuff. Pray to the Gods was one, which is that game that still hasn't come out yet. That's the one where it's very, very Shadow of the Colossus-esque. Kind of almost just blatant ripoff.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I enjoy that game, and I would love to play more of it. Yeah. The other one was, there was a couple of other she mentioned. Then she mentioned Hong Kong Massacre. And she said, oh, you got to go see it. It's easy to play. There's no line for it. You just go downstairs, go into Sony's booth, and just either watch somebody play it or pick up the controller and start playing because there's no lines to get in there and play some of their games. So I got down there and played it, and I completely thought of you while I was playing it.
Yeah. I mean, it was very fun, very simple to get into. All the weapons that you have to pick from, but then I realized the best one to get is still with the pistol. Because the pistol, if you max that thing out, you have... infinite ammo. You can reload that thing, and there's all types of ammo all around because the enemies you take out, they drop their weapons. You can pick it up, so you'll never there's not much of a situation where you're going to be out of bullets or out of ammo. Just pick up whatever you got available on hand. And then the challenges you got there, the speed runs, the no slowdown, and the perfect accuracy. That's how you get the start. That's how you get the points in the game to build up your stuff. And so going back and forth through different levels is basically learning the levels, learning where the enemies are, and then knowing what to do when you get there.
I was going to ask you, do you have Amazon Prime?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I keep hearing about it. What is it, $100 a year?
Yeah, close, if not. The reason I brought that up is because Amazon Prime is also the whole Twitch Prime thing.
Yeah.
You get free games, and I think some of the free games this month or this week are from Devolver Digital.
Yeah, okay. And then I do remember seeing something about Grand Theft Auto Online. If you have a Twitch Prime account, they give you the arcade property for free for the Diamond Casino heist.
There's a ton of the Red Dead Online and the GTA Online.
Yeah.
Ton of free stuff that comes when you're a Twitch Prime
person.
But the Devolver Digital has a game called Enter the Gungeon.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
Enter the Gungeon,
which is another game where it's like there is no bullet time, but there is... it's a shooter. It's a top-down shooter. More cartoony than it is like Hong Kong Massacre, of course.
It's more like a Hotline Miami. The look of it, anyway, closer to it.
I would say even less than that. I would say even more cartoony than that.
Okay.
But still, it has that roll invincibility roll thing. That's the only time that you can't be hit is when you're rolling. And the massive amount of different guns in that game is insane. Yeah. And they're not based on any real-world things. There's, like, shotgun, pistol, blah, 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 that sort of thing. Hand cannon, handgun things. But then you get into things that, you know, a gun that shoots guns. It's very Borderlands-y, you know, with some of the different things that they have for Enter the Gungeon. So was just letting you know about that. What else? So we talked about Well, what else have you played?
Oh,
Hong Kong Massacre. Anything
Hong Kong
else?
Massacre. Played Street Fighter V. They had a new update to Champion Edition. They made a few changes in the game. They added another V skill to every character. So now all the characters are different. Now they have more strategies, more techniques, and everybody's going in the lab basically and figuring things out. So I spent a little time with that, playing and watching a few matches and seeing how everyone is doing in there. Still getting ready. Gil, the character from Third Strike, the boss from Third Strike, is now an available character to use in that game. And I've seen some very nasty mix-up and combos with him in-game. And we're all getting prepped for Championship Edition, which comes out in mid-February, I think the 14th, Valentine's Day, I think. And we're going to get Seth as another character in there as well. So we're... anybody who plays the game, you know, for tournaments, just online play, you know, everyone's in the lab playing and prepping and getting everything ready and seeing what all they can learn and seeing if they can use characters to better effect. So and that's going to be something.
At the Game Awards, we saw where Joker was coming to Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes, we saw the trailer for that.
Is it Joker and Harley, or is it just Joker?
No, Joker. Harley. Harley is an outfit that Cassie Cage wears.
Ah,
so okay. That's what that is. That's a palette swap thing.
Maybe that's why I think I understand the dialogue between the two.
Yeah.
In that little trailer.
Yeah,
there.
That's just Cassie in a Harley outfit.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what that is. So it's not actually Harley. If you want to play Harley, you're going to play you want to play Injustice.
Of course. Probably if you want to play Joker, you want to play Injustice as well.
Yeah, Sonic Fox did. He did a really good job with Joker when he was in the tournament, when the tournament was played for that. He did a really good job with him. So outside of that, still playing a little bit of a Code Vein. They put an update in there where they did something with character creation. You can change the height now and little things like that in there. And you know, for something about character creation, I always liked character creation in these games, and I would think height and things like that would be something that would be standard, but no, not really. They put it in there much later than anticipated. So I had a couple characters made, things like that, so I just figured, you know, well, remake them. They're not too far along advanced, so my main character, I maxed out to level 300 until the next iteration, next DLC comes out. But I still got two sub-characters in the back that I was playing with and fiddling around with. So now that the new update is out, I just remade those and just start playing that again. So that's pretty much what I've been doing this week.
Me, I've just been grinding in Destiny. It's all I do. I mean, it's just Destiny is, you know, my second job.
No. Jobs you get money for.
Right?
Yeah. So you're...
Don't want to make it, exactly.
You're just having a good time.
That's my internship that I'm doing right now.
You got to stream it.
Yeah. No. I'd rather not. Well, because I don't know. If I'm streaming, that means I feel like if I'm streaming, I need to be doing something significant that people would watch. And a lot of the times, or be able to talk to the audience while I'm streaming or while I'm doing just the boring old grind and talk about here's weapons that I like, here's blah, blah, blah. Just be communicative,
entertaining,
and I'm not when I'm doing that. I'm doing so much crap where it's like I'm killing ever how many number of these things that I have to kill, or I have to kill a number of them a certain way, and I'm trying to maximize efficiency. So maybe I have a bounty that says get submachine gun kills, but then I also have a bounty that says get void kills, and then I also have a bounty that says get a certain enemy type kills. Well, then if I take a void submachine gun and do that, I can knock out three things at one time and try and do that. But trying to figure out that combination, because I'll go a little bit too far. I really should keep it to maximize efficiency on three different things rather than, okay, those are three I got for that. What's something else I can combine? You know, get sword kills with void melee with... something, I don't know, heavy kills or something like that.
Wasn't there an addition? It was easier to do back when I remembered it. Wasn't there like a void thing you could add to any weapon or something like that? Or just get the hard light?
You can get hard light, yeah.
Yeah, hard light. What was the hard light? I forget the sniper rifle that you could switch polarities on.
I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it, but yeah. But those two weapons I know of you could do it that way, but none of them are a submachine gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, one's an auto rifle, and the other, yeah.
The odd thing is that in Destiny, anytime you need a certain empowered melee kill,
yeah,
like you need solar melee or arc or void,
yeah,
you can equip a sword that has that element.
Yeah.
Change your super to that element.
Mm-hmm.
Empty the sword's weapons mm-hmm. or ammo.
Yeah.
So that there, so it has no ammo whatsoever.
Those got to be sword with ammo.
As you kill an enemy with an empty sword, mm-hmm. it counts as a melee for that element.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes much quicker than waiting for my melee to recharge and then hitting one enemy.
Yeah,
so I just zoom. So anyway, right now I've been doing the Dawning, trying to baking cookies for Christmas.
Yummy.
For all the different people we were making cookies for, to repair my new Sparrow that I got, the new vehicle that you get.
That reminds me. Have they done anything special with Sparrows other than just rehashes and redesigns for that thing? Nothing special. Okay. Yeah. I think, is the top speed still 160? I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
The Sparrow League Racing.
Yeah.
That was fun. And they haven't brought that back yet, but that was fun. I enjoyed that. That was back in D1 days.
It seems like something they should bring back because, it seems like pointless. It's just like, oh, this looks.
Yeah,
this looks
I enjoyed Sparrow League Racing. That was good, but they haven't brought that back yet. Yeah. Right now, they're bringing back Saint 14, which is a character from Destiny lore.
Yeah,
I ran the mission last Friday to where you essentially save him and bring him back from the dead.
Yeah,
because you go back in time and prevent him from dying and that sort of thing.
So. Yeah, I still got a shotgun.
Well, that's the fun part about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because so what you did was you visited his tomb.
Yeah.
In the story back on the Osiris thing, you visited his tomb, mm-hmm. got the shotgun, and then in the story section of this, you go back in time and you give him this shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Where he never had it before, you give it to him. Hmm. And then he takes it, and eventually in the timeline he dies, and then in the loop, you go back in, you get the shotgun. Time again, you go back in time, give it to him, loop starts all over again. It's a paradox.
Yeah.
Which is why the gun is called Perfect Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
But this time you save him. This time you prevent him from dying, and he shows up in the tower, and he's a vendor now. Hmm. He's got some fantastic lines, and he's great. I love him. Hmm. He's a fantastic character. And they really, I hope they keep him. They won't. But if they don't keep him, I'm really curious as to how they're going to write that into a story.
Mm-hmm.
Do they kill him again? Is this the heartbreak we're setting ourselves up for again? Where they're going to take a character away from us? Does he say, I've got to go and explore the universe now? Goodbye, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Does he marry Poppins on out of here? Or, like E.T., go home and away? Or he's got to go on this journey? And I have no idea how they're going to explain his absence if they do not have him in further seasons.
Yeah, they'll probably bring Cade back.
I think they're probably just going to get rid of him. Or change up the way he gives out bounties, because right now the bounties that he gives you are directly related to this season's, stuff.
Well, it just never got, it never felt like the weight isn't as significant with Cade. If it was like Ikora or, I forget the other one's name.
Zavala?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that. But he's a EXO, right?
No.
Cade 7.
Right, I know.
Just get Cade 7 in there. A Banshee 42. He's died 41 times.
He's 44.
Cade 44.
Banshee 44.
Banshee 44. Yeah. He's died 43 times previously. He brought him back, no problem. You can't go to 7.
Well, not no problem. They have memory problems. The more times they get brought back, the more they have problems of remembering things.
Okay, this is, again, Banshee's on 44.
Right.
It's 7.
And you can hear him in there.
Loss.
You can hear him in some of his just idle dialogue saying things like, what did I come in this room for?
Yeah.
Where'd I put that thing? What was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because of how many times he's been brought back. But yeah, I know. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. The weight was not there because he is an EXO, which is exactly the point of EXOs is you can bring them back with just a number added. But you kill somebody off like either of the others who are flesh and blood people, then their death would seem to be permanent. But
it has more weight,
Well, but as we've seen here with this one, apparently we can go back in time and prevent that.
Yeah.
What is to stop us from going back in time and saving Cade? I have no idea. We'll see where they go with this. I'm not putting any kind of hope into anything that they're going to do anything with this.
Yeah.
the last season's big end game was a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the raid. I'm just talking about what they decided to do with this portal they were building. And now we're building these obelisks on different planets, and now there's one in the tower that connects to all of those, and it's opening up a portal, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it's probably going to be another letdown. We will see.
Yeah.
We will see. Right now I'm on a big, big grind to do a bunch of stuff with the Dawning that has to be done because it's a 3-week limited event.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get all of it done. Not in the first 2 weeks or in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that with the way that I'm grinding, but I'm just trying to get a bunch of it done so I'm not stuck having to do a lot of it later.
Yeah.
You know? I got some free time coming up this week with the holidays and everything else. So I know the position I was put in last season towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully I had the holidays of Thanksgiving to sit down and just grind through that. And it was a slog. I remember telling you this, and I remember saying this on the show that, you know, I think next season I'm going to take this a lot more steady to where I just consistently work on it.
Yeah.
So that it's not such a slog.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do that.
Yeah, bit by bit, so it doesn't add up on you.
Yeah, yeah. Been trying to do that every time I go and play one of the events. I just haven't played a lot of the events lately because a lot of it hasn't required me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Crucible, Strikes, Gambit. A lot of it hasn't required me to do any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like I said, I think the problem I had was the grinds that require you to play in the Crucible, things like that. Yeah, I'm like, ugh.
We got to run, actually. I know it's a little bit earlier this time, but that's because I always close with this song on our Christmas show. I've done it every single year. And I know RJ knows exactly what the one is. I'm sorry, whoever's calling, we did not get to your call. I've been my attention has been pointed directly at RJ and away from the phone, so I apologize. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thank you, everyone who listens every single weekend. We do this. We are not doing a show next week. So have a fantastic Christmas. And I guess we will see you in the next decade, because we're not doing a show before New Year's. Our next show will come to you from the year 2020, whatever that means. Anyway. Going to leave you with this track. It is from the 1UPS, and it's an Overclock remix. As always, here is Mario Sleigh Ride. Have a fantastic Christmas. We'll see you in 2 weeks.